Welcome to this week's sermon from Heights Worship Center. We believe God has something for you today. We hope this message encourages and inspires you.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. What a good God you are. We thank you for the market. We thank you for the opportunity to host so many vendors. Lord God, to come into this place to host the community. Lord, we thank you for the salvation. We thank you for all the Bibles that were given out. We thank you for the impressions that were made by your Spirit through your people. God, we know that it's all for you, and so we are careful to say thank you. You get the glory. You get the honor. We thank you for all that was done. We ask that you would cover it with the precious blood of Jesus, sealing it through your Holy Spirit. Lord, and just we continue to ask that as you gave us Isaiah 54 as a word for our church, that you would continue to enlarge our territories, expand our reach and our influence for the kingdom of God. And we thank you for that, Lord. And as we get into the word today, Holy Spirit, speak to us. We are ready. We're hungry. We're excited. Lord, we thank you that we have eyes that see and ears that hear and hearts that are tender and responsive to your word today. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. So as a church, we go together in our discipleship called Bible Engagement. And so all the classes and even us, we're all learning the same topic together. And this week, it's about how we are better together in prayer. Better together in prayer. And we're going to kind of do a bit of a streamline for us today. But I want to start with the scripture in Acts chapter 2. I'm going to take you through a number of verses in the book of Acts to show you how integral prayer was in the fabric of the early church community. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, this is after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It says, all the believers, how many?
All.
Not just certain people. Not just the old ones. Not just the created, the crazy ones, I should say. All. All. Look around and say, that's you too. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So the early church gives us the model for how we should still operate today. And there are four things here that it talks about. Number one, they gathered together regularly. The early church did not just sit in their own homes. If you're watching online, I love you. But they came inside and gathered together. They were in the habit of coming together because God created the church to be interdependent. Yes. And I know sometimes for us in the Western culture, we're used to being independent. But the body of Christ is designed to be interdependent. Yes. He created us to need each other, to look to one another, to encourage one another, to walk with one another, to fight with one another. We are created to come together regularly. And it says they devoted themselves. Devotion, that means intentionality. It means commitment. They were devoted. It wasn't just a convenience thing. It wasn't a if I feel like it thing. It was a choice to be intentional, to be devoted, what? To fellowship. Now, it's interesting. I'm going to look them off. It says, well, the first one is to the teaching. Now, for us today, that is scripture. You know, as a pastor here, I always encourage you, read your Bible. It's good to read devotionals. It's good to listen to sermons and podcasts. But the best is to read the Bible for yourself. To ask the Holy Spirit to give you insight into understanding the Word of God. And they did not have this like we have it today. They had the Old Testament. They had the prophecies, the Psalms. But the New Testament was yet to be written. It was written about 60 years after the birth of Jesus. So 30 years after the death of Jesus. So in this part of time, they had to devote themselves to the teaching of the apostles and the early scriptures. You and I, we get the whole book. We got the whole story. They didn't even have the privy of understanding the book Revelations and what was yet to come. We have an advantage. The difference is, are we hungry like they're hungry? Are we willing to be devoted like they were devoted? They came together. This is about discipleship. This is about understanding the word of God, not just for information, which can puff up, but revelation, which transforms from the inside out. That's what brings us to a place of genuine faith that results in a changed lifestyle. And remember, as we've been talking about as a family, that is the expectation. That as followers of Jesus, we don't just get a golden ticket into heaven. It begins to do a work inside of us that makes us more and more like Jesus. So they came together regularly. They were devoted to discipleship, to the reading of the word, the studying of the Bible, and fellowship. It's good for us to be, this is an area where I think we can continue to grow in, to build connection and relationship in the family of God. Because sometimes, let's be honest, we're so busy with work and extracurricular things with our kids and running here and there. I know some of your parents feel like taxi drivers. I'm the oldest of five. I remember somebody asked my mom, what do you do? She's like, I'm a taxi driver. And I looked at her like, no, you're not. And then I got it. She was. Sometimes all you could do is just get through each day. But if we're not careful, that kind of busyness could rob us from the richness of the relationships that God wants us to enjoy with each other. The kind of people that you can reach out to and say, hey, let's hang out. Let's grab a cup of coffee. Why don't you go to church with me? We'll go to lunch afterwards. Nobody says no to food. Come on. That's why some of you are here today. Let's just be honest. But that important fellowship wasn't just coming to church on Sunday, coming in, doing the thing, and then leaving. It was intentional about building relationship. And we've been talking about that, how important it is. And it can be so hard and uncomfortable. And yet, to experience the fullness of what God has for us, we need to be willing to get a little uncomfortable, to start to get to know each other in a better way, to build connections. How you do that? One of the ways is stay after church a while. Talk to people. Some of you are introverts and you're like, get into a small group. Get involved. Start building connection. They were devoted to discipleship, to fellowship. And look at this. What's the third thing on the list? What does it say? Sharing meals. Guess what we're doing today? Including the Lord's Supper. Yeah, the timing of that, huh, Pastor? That's what I said when I was preparing this. I said, oh, yeah, see, food. We are in the house today doing Acts 2:42. Eating together builds relationship. That's why, you know, if you've been around for a while, I really encourage you, when you're out together, put your phones away and enjoy each other. Talk to one another. Listen to one another. Have fun with each other. That's part of the thing about fellowship. And this is a thing that I have to admit that I really appreciated coming into a Filipino church. Because, you know, in the Western American church that I'm from, we did have some potlucks growing up, but nothing like Filipinos do it. I'm just saying, right? And I was like, food every weekend? What is this? It's so weird, you know? And we don't do food every weekend anymore, but we are intentional to eat together on a pretty regular basis. And part of that is because it's scriptural. It's not Filipino, it's scriptural. Amen. Right? And see, that's the beauty when you have multiple different ethnicities and cultures coming together, because you learn from each other and you say, oh, that's good. I like that. Oh, that's good. That's Bible. I'll take that. It's not about white, black, Hispanic, Filipino, Asian. It's about the body of Christ and how God brings us together. That's what it's about. And so they came together regularly to enjoy meals, communion. And then the next one, it says prayer. One of the things I'm grateful is we have a solid group of prayer warriors in this church. We have people who pray for each other. And I want us to get better at it. As I was preparing today, I thought, Lord, I'm grateful because we do pretty well, but to be honest, I think we can do better. The first Saturday of every month, we started a prayer hub, and we joined with the Her Voice movement with women around the world when we all went to D.C., and we were there for the women's gathering praying for our nation. They asked people to start prayer hubs, and so we've started one the first Saturday of every morning, and there is a handful of us who come, and I'd like to see that grow. And it's not a woman thing. Why is prayer a woman thing? Because in my Bible, a lot of the men prayed. So this is not a women thing on Saturday morning. It's a women and men thing. See, I grew up in the church, and I grew up in the worship ministry and helping in kids ministry and youth ministry. And I've come to understand that the most important ministry is prayer. Prayer. It's the most important thing. Without prayer, there's nothing. Reese Howell is a man of God who was a man of prayer during World War II. And him and a group of intercessors would come together and they prayed during World War II as the Nazi army was coming in and starting to invade England and getting closer to London. And they got themselves in an upper room and they were praying day and night, 24/7, praying and praying. And the Lord would give them insights into what was going to happen and they would pray against it. And when they prayed into these things, all of a sudden the war just turned and all the Nazis started backing out. You could say, oh, it's because America came in. No, I believe it's because the intercessors prayed. There's another story that I read of a man who prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and he bathed so much prayer, and there was a ripple effect that began a huge movement of salvations. See, we're talking about how we believe another great awakening is going to come to America. That is the prophetic word. Well, you know how it comes? Through prayer. We need to pray boldly. We need to believe boldly. We need to come together and pray boldly. Because even though it's not listed in this verse, the other thing that the early church did was spread the gospel. Can I tell you, in order to spread the gospel effectively, we must pray. So I want to give you a little quick journey through the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it says, they all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. In Acts chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, it says this, as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. After this prayer, verse 31. After this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. Amen. So Peter and John get arrested. You know this story because we've preached on it at least once this year. But what did they do? They didn't run home and cry. They didn't run home and complain. They didn't run home and binge eat. They didn't do any of that. They prayed. And as they prayed together, the place began to shake and the Holy Spirit met them where they were at. And guess what? They were able to continue to preach with boldness. Our theme for 2025 is to live bold. In order to live bold, we must be united together in prayer. Prayer. God, fill us with boldness. In Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. When Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. Peter's in prison. They weren't trying to raise money. They weren't trying to hack a prison escape plan. They were praying. They were praying. In fact, the story's hilarious, and it's in our discipleship this week. But when Peter was miraculously let out by an angel, he knocked on the door, and they didn't even believe it was him. They were praying, God, get Peter out. Peter shows up and they're like, it must be a ghost. Sometimes we pray what we think are impossible prayers. And when God answers, we're like, is this for real? But that's what builds our faith. That's what keeps drawing us to come back to God to pray for the impossible. Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. One day as the men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, after more, amen. Everybody say more. More fasting and prayer, not just the initial. God gave them a word. They didn't stop. They prayed more. Can I tell you, sometimes we just need to pray more. Tell your neighbor, you got to pray more. Pray more. After that, they prayed more. I love it. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. These are just a few of the verses to show you that prayer was a consistent part of the early church. It was part of their life. It was part of their DNA. It was part of the very fabric of their community. Why? Because prayer unites us. Haven't you ever noticed that? That's why Jesus said, pray for your enemies, don't curse them. Because it's hard to stay mad if you're praying for them. Eventually praying for them, God bless them, God be with them, God, you know, even if you're like, God bless them. You know, maybe you don't feel like it at first, but you're being obedient. God, I pray that you bless them. I've been there. Can I just be honest? God, I pray that you bless them. Bless them. Right now, I don't like them, but you like them. Bless them. Help them. Be with them. God help. And then after a while, when you walk in obedience, all of a sudden, things begin to shift. Because as you pray, it brings unity. Amen. Pray. Prayer unites us. It unites us in vision. It unites us in passion. It unites us in direction. It unites us in purpose. Here's the other thing. Prayer brings strength, comfort, boldness. We see these in the scriptures. I'm just giving you the highlights of the scriptures we just read. Prayer invites God to work in impossible situations. Prayer releases heaven's strategy and direction. Prayer encourages and empowers obedience. Come on, say it with me. Pray more. Pray more. I want to read a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He says this. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a very influential German pastor during one of the World Wars. I forget which one. Anybody know? One, thank you. In World War I, and he stood against the Nazi regime as a pastor. He ended up living as a martyr. He was living as a martyr. Died as a martyr. Here's what he says. It is, in fact, the most normal thing in the common Christian life to pray together. Say together. I think a lot of us might be good at praying. Right? We pray by ourselves, pray in our car, pray getting ready. Somebody shoots you a text, you pray, Lord Jesus, be with them, amen, right? But they didn't just pray on their own. They prayed together. The early church prayed together. The early church prayed together. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, it is the most normal thing that we pray together. Now you're getting it. And I think as a house, we can continue to grow in. Not just praying on our own, but praying together. To be intentional to pray together. To come to the prayer hub next Saturday, 8 a.m. with me. Hey, I thought the timing was good. I said, okay, Holy Spirit, you're on this. To pray together in our small groups, to pray together. And then Charles Spurgeon says, a prayerful church is a powerful church. So we need to be prayerful. We need to pray. I'm going to keep you guys awake this morning. I know a lot of us are tired from the market yesterday. Thank you, Jesus. Here's a couple of things you may not realize. Even Jesus asked for prayer. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? He took his three closest friends, Peter, John, and James. He said, hey, come with me, pray with me for an hour. Keep watch with me. Even Jesus, in his time of need, brought some people with him and said, pray with me. Now, if Jesus asked people to pray for him, how much more do we need to ask people to pray with us? Not just Jesus, but Paul asked for prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5, I'm not going to take time to read it all because we got things to do today. But he asked for prayer in general. He said, pray for us. In fact, if you read a lot of his letters to the church, he constantly asked for prayer for himself. He prayed that the gospel would spread quickly, that it would be received by many, that the unsaved would be saved. He said to the church, pray these things. And we put it up here so that you could take a screenshot. Hello, to some of you, take a screenshot. You need to get this in your phone. You need to write this down because these are the things we should pray for. These are the things as a church when we come together that we should pray for. That we would pray that the gospel would spread quickly, that the unsaved would be saved. That we would pray for protection. Even Paul said, pray that God protects me from evil men. We as well need to pray for protection, that God would protect our families, protect our homes, protect our church. He prayed that the ministry would be well received. He was bringing an offering to Jerusalem. And he said, hey, pray that this offering is well received. We pray the same thing when we do things. We pray that it is well received, that the right words would be able to preach with boldness. He said, pray that I have the right words. When I'm coming to church on Sunday, I pray this, Lord, give me the right words to preach your word with boldness. He also prayed for open doors and opportunities. He said, pray that God would open a way for us to go. Amen. Heights, I'm giving us a prayer points for us to begin to pray together as a church, to pray together as a house. When you say, how do I pray for the leadership? How do I pray for the church? This is how we pray. Because has given us the opportunity to look at these prayer points and pray in agreement. So if Jesus asked for prayer, Paul asked for prayer, that means you can ask for prayer. Yeah. You know, it's like one of those things where we're like, well, yeah, duh. But do you? I remember there's a time in my life when two of my closest friends were like, Don, you've got to open up and start. Everybody talks to you. Who do you talk to? Talk to us. That's why we're here. And the Holy Spirit is like, you need to open up. You need to start being intentional. When you need prayer, ask for prayer. And I've gotten better for it. And some of you know, because I will text you and be like, hey, this is what I need right now. Pray for me. There's something when we pray with each other, pray for each other. When we come together, sometimes I just reach out. My friend here, Jen, you know, she's our missionary to Peru. She's with us this morning. Jen and I have been friends since high school. And so one of the things when I need prayer, I'll be like, hey, can you call me when you get a chance? She called me. I said, I need prayer. Let's pray. And she does the same thing. And we pray for each other over the phone, not just in message. See, it's really important that you come together and you pray for one another. That we also ask for prayer when you need it. Because I think this is also one of the biggest hindrances to fellowship and relationship in the body of Christ is we're afraid to ask for prayer. Well, what if they think bad about me? Or sometimes we're like, oh, again, I already asked for prayer. And if I ask for prayer again, maybe they're going to get tired of asking for prayer. They're going to be like, what's wrong with her? Why is she always asking for prayer? We don't judge each other. We are here for each other. In fact, I have discovered that it is an honor to pray for people in their time of need. That it is an honor to journey together when you keep praying and nothing's happening and you keep praying and you ain't seeing nothing and you keep praying and nothing's changed and you keep praying and you just decide, I'm not going to give up, and you keep praying and you keep praying no matter how much you got to pray until you see it happen. Amen. You can ask for prayer too. Because I figured if Jesus asked for prayer and Paul asked for prayer a lot, then you and I are not asking for it enough. Amen. You need to have those people in your life where you could reach out and say, hey, it's a week. Oh, it's been a day. I need some prayer. Could you pray with me? It doesn't have to be long. It could just be a short couple minute prayer on the phone or a voice memo. Just do something where you reach out and you begin to pray for one another. You know, one of the things that really has helped me in terms of my own prayer life is when somebody asks for prayer, I pray right away. So I remember when I was a nurse and somebody would say, hey, can I get a cup of coffee? I'd say, sure. And I'd walk out and somebody else would ask for something and somebody else would ask for something. And then an hour and a half, I'd go back in there like, where's my coffee? And I was like, oh, I'll be right back, right? Or the medicine or whatever it was. And so I learned as a nurse, if they asked me for it, I'd do it right away. So I'd walk out there like, Dawn, I'm like, wait, coffee, 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 coffee. And I would literally talk to myself the whole way so I would remember, get the coffee. Just take a couple of minutes, get the coffee. Here you go. And they'd be like, wow, yeah, right? That's how it was. And I have applied that to my own prayer life. So when somebody prays, I like right in the moment, I don't care what I'm doing, I better stop and pray because I don't want to be one of those that's like praying hands emojis, heart, 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 and then I don't even pray. Yeah. And I'm trying to get better. If you reach out to me personally, I don't just send you prayer hand emojis. I send you a prayer. I lean into the Holy Spirit and say, what do you want me to, or I send a verse, a scripture, a song, because we've got to do better. I need to do better. We all need to do better in praying more, praying together. I want to read Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20 through the Passion Translation. Here's what Jesus said. Again, I give you an eternal truth. If two of you agree to ask God for something in a symphony of prayer, my heavenly Father will do it for you. For wherever two or three come together in honor of my name, I am right there with them. See, when we pray together, two or three, it brings in the presence of God. And how many of you know when God shows up, nothing's impossible? When God shows up, nothing is impossible. Technology in some ways makes our life easier and in other ways has stolen from us. Because I'll text a prayer request, but what happens if we actually got together and prayed? What if we actually got together and prayed? I feel like just as social media and technology has created distance in our own relationships, you go to dinner, you see a whole table of people, nobody's talking to each other, they're all on their phones, right? Not your family, their family, right? I feel like the same kind of thief, stealing that the devil's done with technology in our homes has affected the church. Well, I sent a text, I sent a message. Let's get together. Let's pray for each other. Because where two or three are gathered, who's right there? Jesus. Thank you, Victor. Jesus, he's right there. And he says, and if you pray in the honor of my name, pray in the honor of my name. That means our prayers come into agreement with what God desires. That's the other thing about prayer. It shifts our desires. It shifts our perspective. It makes us see what God sees. Then we pray in agreement with what God sees, and then we see it come to pass. So that's why we want to come together and pray. In James chapter 5, verse 13 through 18, James chapter 5, verse 13 through 18. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should. Hey, good job. You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. That's why we still have altar calls in this church. That's why we open the altar during worship. That's why we lay hands on you, anoint you with oil. That's why sometimes at the end of service, we have an altar call. Why? Because there is power in prayer. We don't just want to come, show up, check the box, and leave. We are here to build relationship and to pray for each other. So don't ever be embarrassed to come to the front for prayer. Because if somebody judges you, shame on them. When we open up the altar, even if the altar's not open and you need prayer, you just come up. Dawn, I need prayer. Let's do it. We try to create space in our normal church service for that opportunity. Take advantage of it. When we open the altar for prayer, take advantage of it. Get some prayer. I mean, we've been seeing God do healings in the house. We've been seeing God do the miraculous in the house. You think that's all he can do? It's not even a drop in the bucket compared to what he can do. Are you sick? Call the elders to pray and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. And we've been seeing that. Will heal the sick and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I want to pause. This is not about just putting out your stuff publicly. This is about selecting who you talk to, because sometimes you can't get out of the struggle you're in because you won't come to somebody to say, hey, I'm struggling in this area. I got a sin issue that I don't want and I need your prayers. I need your support. Bring out of the darkness into the light with someone you trust who will love you, keep it confidential, pray with you until God can heal you and set you free. Don't ever keep it in the dark. You keep it in the dark, that's where Satan lives. That's his power domain. But when we take it out of the dark and we bring it into the light, we strip his power. We are in the power of Jesus, who is the light of the world. And there is an opportunity for freedom, for healing, for deliverance, for wholeness. That's why it says, confess your sins one to another. It's not to embarrass you. It's so that you realize, oh, gosh, I have some of those issues too. You're no different than I am. Oh, we're all the same? You mean you're not any, you're the pastor, you're just like that? Oh, okay. Sometimes we look around at church and we think everybody's perfect. Oh, they look perfect, they act perfect, they talk perfect. I'm the only one that has such bad issues. And the enemy's like, yeah, you're the only one. Look at them, they look perfect, their marriage looks so perfect. You better not talk about your marriage. God tell you, every marriage has issues at times. And the devil wants to make you feel like you can't tell anybody because everybody else is so perfect. So that you just stay isolated and in the dark. Today I'm telling you, get out of the dark. Start reaching out for prayer. Start asking each other for prayer. And if somebody comes to you and shares something that is vulnerable, you better not talk about it. Keep it confidential. Oh, but it's a prayer request. No, that's gossip. Okay, let's just keep reading. All right. I think we got it. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power. The earnest prayer, earnest. I'm trying, Liz. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power. Everybody say great power. And it produces wonderful results. Now look, just in case you're like, well, that ain't me. Keep reading. Elijah was as human as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. So here the Bible says, hey, Elijah was just as human as you, but he knew how to pray earnestly and God answered his prayers. And the Lord is saying to you today, if you will just pray earnestly, just like Elijah, he will answer your prayers. You know how I know? It didn't rain yesterday. We had nice weather at the market yesterday. We prayed for nice weather yesterday because you know how it's been here in SoCal. Personal prayer is important, but we also need to pray with each other and for each other. We need to ask for forgiveness and forgive one another. We need to believe that God not only hears, but he answers our prayers. I want to encourage you today to believe that anything is possible to those who believe. Because with God, nothing is impossible. I'm going to close with this quote from the book called Power Through Prayer by E.M. Bounds. He says, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, which would be lights and cameras and fog machines and LED screens. Even though we have it, it's not a bad thing. What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not a new organization or more in novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, he comes on men. He does not anoint plans, he anoints men, men of prayer. And that's what it's all about. It's okay to have nice stuff. It's okay to have, well, we've done our part to make it look nice. But without God, it's just nothing. Without the presence of God, there's no point. Without growing and becoming more like Christ and building relationships and learning how to be the body of Christ, the church, as is on his heart, then nothing else matters. The Holy Spirit comes upon people. He anoints people. He anoints people. Why? Because he has chosen to partner with people to accomplish his purpose. And that's you. He has called you for a purpose. I'm going to give you another screenshot that you can have. If you're like, how do I pray? How do I start? What do I do? Because I remember, I grew up in church, and I remember as a young adult saying, God, I don't know if I even know how to pray. I mean, I pray, I talk to you, but like, what do I pray? And the Holy Spirit said, pray the prayers in Scripture. So here are some prayers found in Scripture that you can partner with in prayer. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 23, Philippians 1, 9 through 11, Colossians 1, 9 through 14, Colossians 4, verse 12, 1 Thessalonians 3, 9 through 13, and 2 Thessalonians 1, 13 through 14. And you can, and that's how I started to pray. I started to look at the prayers that Paul wrote in his letters, and I began to pray those prayers. I began to pray them for myself. I began to pray them for my friends, my family, my church. And as we began to pray, as I began to pray those prayers, it just began to teach me the heart of God in praying in a way that honors him. One of the things that has helped me again personally about praying is I've habit stacked it with my workout time. So now I don't bring my phone. I don't have a music on or a podcast. It's just me and Jesus. And it's made me more consistent in exercising because it's my Jesus time. Find ways. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do I need to do to make prayer a more central part of my life? How can I incorporate it? How can I make space in my day to make sure I pray? The Bible says pray without ceasing. I remember as a nurse, if the IV machine didn't work in the middle of the night, there was no one to call. I laid hands on that thing and I prayed over it. And guess what? It always worked. I said, Lord, I need some of the mechanical angels. Because this machine is driving me nuts and this patient nuts, and there's no maintenance at this hour of the day. You don't think you can pray? You can pray for anything. For anything.
And we need to pray. Thanks for listening to our podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Visit us in person or online at hwcim.org.